Hey, this is Kevin from Kevin's Barbecue Joints, and welcome to episode 209 of the Kevin's Barbecue Joints podcast. And I am super excited to bring you my interview with Rebecca King, who is the Bad Jew, or her company is the Bad Jew. She's not a Bad Jew. It's the company. And the reason why it's called that is because she uses pork instead of beef for pastrami. She has pork pastrami, and she has corned pork instead of corned beef. And she makes sandwiches and sells them by the pound. She was doing pop-ups at the place that you'll see the interview. If you're watching the interview on YouTube, it's youtube.com/kevinsbbqjoints. You can see that she's on her patio at her house. And this house is where she used to do these pop-ups prior to COVID. At the time of the interview, she was still doing curbside at her place. You could pre-order and pick up curbside. But now she's popping up in restaurants at the Nosh in Beverly Hills. She just had one. She's having another one in July. If you're listening to this in 2020, she's having another one in July. And then she's also doing one in July, I think July 18th, at 11 City Deli in Los Angeles. And they've just recently reopened, which is great. They had to shut down because of COVID. This one is great just simply because Rebecca's a great human. She's one of those great people that you love to talk to. She's full of life and energy and enthusiasm for cooking. And her side job is she works in commercial real estate, but her real passion is food. And where I met her was at Flat Point Barbecue, Danny Gordon. I'll put a link to his interview below. I met her, she was working with him at his pop-up at Surf's Deli in Santa Monica/Venice. And he had to stop popping up there, but he's gonna, I believe, start up there again. But that's where I met her. But she's staged all over the city. She recently staged, I think, up in San Francisco. From this interview, you'll understand where she came from. Cleveland 3 years ago. She lives in Los Angeles. And you can see her progression as to what she's learned and what she's learned about fermenting and pickling and brining, and how she's turned this into a project and a business that I think is going to be extremely successful. The sandwiches look insane. I haven't had a chance to go have them. I've wanted them so badly. But everyone that I've heard and all the photos that you see, and I'll put lots of photos in this, you can tell that it's outstanding food, and she's extremely creative. And she also has at Rebecca Cooking, and that's with a K, and you'll see she's a stud. She's amazing at plating and interesting combinations, and it's well thought out. It's not just simply things from a cookbook. They're out of her head, and they're versions of things that she's had. But at the end, I can't thank her enough for taking the time and for doing what she's doing. And go check out her new website, follow her Instagram, go to her pop-ups, support her, and I know you'll be more than pleasantly surprised when you have her food. And this episode, as always, is sponsored by Treaty Oak Distilling. They're available at treatyoakdistilling.com out of Dripping Springs, Texas. You can also visit them in Dripping Springs. Their location, they have Alice's Restaurant, which is a barbecue restaurant, as well as Live Fire. You can try all their bourbons and their rum and their gin there on the location. I believe they're open to 75%, but because of recent things, they might be down to 25%. But you can go visit them there. And it's sponsored by AJ's Custom Cookers. That's ajscustomcookers.com. AJ makes amazing pits. His lead time right now is about a year. So if you want to jump on board with his stuff, you better get your order in quick. You can DM him, contact him anyway. He'll call you back as soon as possible. He's a great guy, always thinking outside the box. That's ajscustomcookers.com. And I have a website at kevinsbbqjoints.com with links to all these podcasts and YouTube stuff and additional content and crazy stuff. So check that out when you get a chance. I'm on all the social media at kevinsbbqjoints. But at the end, thanks for listening. Stay safe. Let's get through this. I'm putting out a lot of these, but this one is definitely a great one. Thanks so much. What is up? How are you?
I'm good. I'm not bored yet in quarantine, so that's good. I've been cooking a ton. A little crazy, but...
I'm recording this, but I won't necessarily use this. Like, it's... But it's...
You can use whatever you want.
I know. They're kind of... These are all kind of, like... haphazard, random, chaotic, whatever, tangential. It's weird. Some days I don't feel like I'm super in quarantine. Then there's times where I know I can't do something, and that's It's a weird state.
What I miss the most is working with other people and having like my front yard pop-ups and doing Flat Points pop-up and hugging my friends, like just like those things. But like, it's also been kind of nice because I have another account, Rebecca Cooking. I haven't really been focused on that since the Bad Jew, and I've just been like been able to cook so much and like so beautifully, and it's been super therapeutic and really, I don't know, it's been kind of mellow in a good way.
Yeah, that part's not bad. I think the part where everyone's cooking more too, I think that's a beautiful thing. I think that's wonderful that people are cooking with their family and learning recipes, and hopefully that's what they'll take out of that.
Yeah, I just got a bunch of new cookbooks from the little store in Chinatown called Now Serving. They have the best books, and I picked one up today actually. And I'm just like seeing what I have in my fridge, and just like I can't wait to cook something soon.
What are you focusing for? Are you kind of all over the place for that, or is there a specific focus for the Rebecca?
I'm all over the place. It's just kind of whatever I'm in the mood for, or whatever I feel like. I mostly do Mediterranean food, I think, or California style, so like whatever's at the market. I kind of just go without a plan, and then I come home and I'm like, okay, I have this, this, and this. And then I kind of just I read cookbooks for fun and kind of as a guide, and so, but I don't always use them. A lot of the times I'm just making it up. But yeah, like last week I did Thai food, I did Palestinian food recently. Just depends what I want to eat.
What would Palestinian food be?
So like hummus, different types of stews. I made this lamb stew on my smoker. It was like a 6 hour stew. It's like pomegranate, molasses, tahini, tomatoes, onions.
You never see pomegranate. Like, it does, isn't there like a pomegranate syrup too that.
Yeah, so basically if you take pomegranate juice and you cook it down, then you get molasses. That's it.
But people
That's
have,
the
like, I've seen jars of it on shelves.
Yeah, jars of it inside.
I think I had a jar that it went bad and I never used it, but buy it, right?
I grew up in Cleveland in the suburbs.
Were you cooking a lot then?
My mom's a good cook. We cook very differently. And my mom just texted me recently that her grandmother was like an amazing cook. And no, I didn't really cook though. Like I remember I had a party when I was 16 and I wanted to make dinner, and I remember I made like a pasta and like some chicken. And then in college, we used to do Thanksgiving. We used to do Friendsgiving, and I would cook for like, I think there's like 40 or 50 people, I don't know.
Wow.
So I would do it like once in a while, but I was following my grandma and my mom's recipes, so I wasn't really.
But you weren't intimidated by cooking for a group. That's you weren't intimidated at all by that.
No, I'm a little crazy that way. I'm just like, yeah, sure, I'll do it. We'll see what happens.
Is that kind of the way you go about life?
I think so. Yeah. I mean, like, I don't get embarrassed that easily. So if I did something wrong, I'd just be like, oops, I'll try it again.
You know, that's a great way to be. That's an important way to be because I think a lot of people are too self-conscious, and that's
I
ridiculous.
think
It's silly.
so too. I'm lucky. I don't have that. I mean, I get self-conscious sometimes, and I want everyone to like my food, of course, especially if they're buying it. But no, yeah, I'm kind of just like, I'm just gonna try it, and if it works, it works.
So how did you end up out here then?
I moved here 3 years ago. I work in commercial real estate as well as cooking.
Oh, I didn't know that.
My parents lived in LA for 10 years. They went to UCLA. My dad worked for a guy named Len Bayless, and I started working. I was living in Chicago for a little while, and I called my dad's old boss. I was like, I want to move to LA. I want to work in real estate. You have to teach me everything you know. He said no, and I said, yes, I'll be there in June. I'm moving there, so give me a desk and give me a computer. He said no to the computer, but he agreed to the desk.
Really?
He taught me real estate, and
It's impressive.
I don't love real estate. I love cooking. It's kind of hard to like. I used to really like it, but it's kind of hard to like want to do something when all you're thinking about is something else.
But I don't think that there's a ton of people that say they love real estate. I think there's a small segment of that group, but there's certain people that are
Yeah.
doing it for money because it's lucrative if you know what you're doing.
Yeah, it's lucrative, yeah, but it's if you're doing it, but not
Yeah, what if
really.
you're like focusing completely on
Don't
it?
tell this to my boss.
Make sure he doesn't watch this. Does he follow you
He
on
will.
Instagram?
No.
So then you started working. What was your first place? Your friend. I remember in the story. I was trying to remember before we talked.
Oh yeah, so my friend Andrew, he lived out here, and I called him, and he started taking me. We would meet up at the farmers markets, and he kind of showed me around. He told me to buy a book called On Vegetables by Jeremy Fox, and so I bought that book. And then I was reading his book, and I was like, wait, he's listing all the farmers. And then I started going to his restaurant, and I was like, oh, the farmers are also on the menus. And so I would take menus home with me, and I called it menu reading, and I would like make a list from all the farmers and what vegetables, and I would go get the same thing, and then I would try to recreate the dish. Obviously, it was different because it didn't list every single ingredient, but sometimes I would come pretty close, and I kind of learned flavors that way.
So you were developing your palate and your style that way too.
Yes, exactly. And I started doing that kind of everywhere I went, and then I met these two guys that asked me to do like a vegan dinner series, and I tried out for them, and we had so much fun, and they're called Common Table Creative. But I had no idea about prep. I would like buy pounds and pounds of vegetables, and we would cook 4 hours before everyone would get there, and then we'd make the biggest mess in the kitchen, and it was insane. So then I started reaching out to different restaurants asking if I could stage, which means intern. And so I'd worked for free at different restaurants. My first stage was at Mazza, and I'd never worked at a restaurant before. And they had me on the Garm station, which is the salad. And I would make the plates, and like I was working the line, and it was really fun, and I loved it. And then I worked at a bunch of other places. And then I started working at Friends Pop-Ups. I worked at Pop's Bagels. I worked at Goldburger. Danny came much later.
Birdie G's, is that the kind of the wet? Yeah. Led you towards this, what you're doing?
No. So okay. I had the name in my head, the Bad Jew, for a little while. And I had the logo in my head for a little while. I had my friend draw me a logo, and I sent her a picture of Evan Fox, the guy that owns Yeasty Boys Bagels, and I was like, I want you to make this guy look like a pig.
That's so funny.
And I was like, what the fuck are you though? Like what's it? And so then I came up with, I was thinking pork, like some kind of pork sandwich, but it didn't hit me. And then all of a sudden I was like, wait, pork deli sandwiches, duh. Like no one does it. No one does pork shrami. No one does corn pork, but I didn't know how to do any of that. But so while I was at Birdie G's, I met one of the sous chefs, Joel, and he taught me about brining, and he taught me about pickling and fermenting. And I basically asked him, I said, so I want, can you teach me how to brine stuff? And he answered probably a million questions. He still answers my questions. I ask him so many all the time. And yeah, I have a cabinet in my house where I like pickle everything. Now I know how to brine meats, and it's really easy. You just need a scale. You need two different types of salt, some sugar, and you have to come up with a spice mixture that tastes good.
How long do you usually brine stuff for?
I've been brining the meat for about a week.
Is there like a limit as to how long you could do it, and is there a minimum? I always wondered.
I have no idea. I'm still so new to this. I've only been the Bad Jew. My first brine I think was in December.
It seems like it's been longer, but
Joel. I'll ask Joel. He'll know.
Is it trife? Is that the word that, or treif?
I think it's trife. Trife. Trafe? I think trafe is the word.
And that means non-kosher?
And it just means not kosher.
So it's it's trafe deli sandwiches.
Trafe deli sandwiches, yes. Well, I think eventually, I just did lamb shrami. Lamb is kosher. If you get it from a kosher butcher. But I'd like to do lamb. I want to do turkey. I want to do fish. I want to do a bunch of different things. Right now, it's kind of hard to have a large menu because I do it from home. And I have two fridges, so I need to either get space or get a nice sized fridge.
So when did you have your first pop-up at your house?
I bought a smoker. I bought a little offset smoker from Home Depot, and I wanted to have a big Labor Day party. That's one in September, right?
Yeah.
I wanted to have a big...
Yeah, because Memorial is coming up, so it's Labor, yeah.
Yeah, okay, so it was last September, so I wanted to have a huge party. And I bought a little pig, I got salmon, I got whole chickens, and I got a brisket. And my butchers were gonna help me smoke the meat, and I was so excited, and I never smoked anything before. And my butchers bailed out, two of them, and I was like, what the hell am I gonna do? I've never smoked anything in my life. So I got like the masterclass, Franklin's Barbecue Masterclass. It helped, but like I have ADD, so I was kind of like wasn't fully paying attention.
And there's 10 episodes. I have masterclass too.
Yeah, it's a lot, and it's just like, so I have two roommates, Tyler and Jess. Tyler was like, why don't you hit up my friend Danny? And I was like, who is this guy? Like, tell me everything about him. So I messaged him on Instagram, and he answers 2 million questions. He basically stays up with me via Instagram for like the 12 hours while I'm smoking the brisket and the pig and whatever. And he just gave me really good advice, and he helped me so much. And so after he'd helped me the next day, I like thanked him 10,000 times, and I was like, can I work for you? And he's like, do you have a job? What are you talking about? And I was like, I work in real estate, but I love cooking. So I can help you prep. I can work your pop-up. So I started working for him, I think in October. And now I still call him like almost every day.
And this is, for people that don't know, this is Danny Gordon at Flat Point Barbecue.
Yes. Danny Gordon. So I worked at Danny Gordon at Flat Point Barbecue. I work his pop-up. I prep with him. not during COVID, of course.
And that's where we met at the one over by Surf, was it Surf Liquor?
Yes, at Surf Liquor. It's amazing barbecue. Everyone, you should try it.
Put a link here to my interview with.
Okay, good. He started smoking my meats for me. I've done it a couple times, and then he started smoking my meats for me. But thank God he taught me how to smoke, because now during COVID, it's like you're trying to be contactless, whatever. So I've been smoking it all myself, and I know how to do it, and I feel confident in it. And
I was going to ask you. So you've been smoking the meats for since COVID started. Okay, cool.
yeah.
When did you start up these house, the ones at your house?
I did two taste testings at my house in December, and then I think January was the first one. It was either in December or January when I started doing the pop-ups at my house. I have a huge front porch, and I have three beautiful helpers that I love and I really miss. And we just set up the house like a restaurant, and each one we learn something new, and we learn how to streamline and get better. And I have a little square thing. It's just super fun. It's super cute.
The menu is on the TV or something? Is that
Yes. So I have a large TV, like a 55-inch TV, and I put the menu on there. And so you walk into the house, you see the menu, you order from me. And then I have one person on the stovetop grilling the sandwiches. I have one person next to me building the sandwiches. And I have a third person that's, I usually, when I have do some sort of side. And so it's the four of us. And then my roommate is like helps a little bit. And she will, if I'm too busy, she'll like bring sandwiches out for people.
And it's like a hangout thing.
It's so fun. Here, I'm in my backyard. It's a little messy right now, but I'll show you.
Okay, cool. It looks familiar from the photos.
Yeah.
And there's your pit
I'm
over
sure
there.
There's the smoker. Super fun hangout. And then, yeah, people come and they hang out all day. Some people like don't even leave when it's wrapped up. And I'm like, whatever.
And it
New
seems
friend.
like it's like a who's who of like pop-up people and different restaurant people and then just like food people and writers and
Yeah,
like.
sometimes it just depends on the day. Sometimes it's people I've never seen. Sometimes it's just a bunch of friends. And I don't know, it's just so fun. I love doing
I know,
it.
that's a, it
I
must
miss
be something you really miss, yeah.
During COVID, I have this like cute antique couch and a table, and I set it up in the driveway. My roommate sits with me. We'll have like a nice wine, and we'll be there waiting for people to come pick up their food on Saturdays. And
It's closer to the real thing.
yeah, we have music going, like we have disco going, whatever. It's still fun.
Are the neighbors cool? Like, do they come over and get food?
Yeah, I feed my neighbors. Sometimes I feed them, sometimes they buy whatever. Our neighbors are super cool. They love us. There's a family that lives next to us, and there's a family that lives behind us. And we're all buddies. We all look out for each other.
How are they? I want to go over your menu before COVID and right now, but how is the neighborhood acting? Are people out and about doing stuff, or are people wearing masks all the time, or is it?
People are wearing masks and gloves usually. People are on, they're walking their dogs, and they're in it, like people are picking up groceries and food. But it's not, yeah, it seems pretty safe, and it's never crowded. It seems like people are behaving.
Because you're in East Hollywood, right?
East Hollywood.
That's closer to like getting closer to Silver Lake and Los Feliz and stuff like that area. Is that I'm trying to think of
Yeah.
what was your menu like before COVID? Because hopefully once this is over, you'll be able to do something similar and then more.
Yeah, okay. So my menu, I was only selling two different types of sandwiches, the Danny Boy, which is named after Danny for teaching me how to smoke,
Figured as
and
much.
that is pork pastrami with like a mustard coleslaw, Russian dressing, Havarti cheese on just baked rye bread. And then the Rebecca is more of like a Reuben, and it is corned pork, Havarti, fennel kraut, and Russian on grilled rye. And then I was doing latkes, and then sometimes I'll do like market side salads, so or like deli salads, but I'll get fresh produce from the market. And I don't like love potato salad and macaroni salad, so I try to do some fun more California style sides, I guess.
And what are people's reaction? Because it's essentially like corned beef and pastrami, which are both made from beef. You're substituting pork. How is that? Are people surprised by how good they are?
Yes, people.
They
People are
look
really
freaking
surprised.
awesome. They look awesome.
I think it's more like, I think people I don't know. I've been getting some really good reactions. The best, my favorite, is when it's like older Jewish men are like, this is the best pastrami you've ever had. It's up there with Langer's and Katz's. And I am blown away. Yeah, I cannot believe you can say that kind of stuff. I think it's my brine. I'm sure I could brine beef. And it's delicious. It's a little bit different than your average brine. Yeah, I think pork is just really good and it's yummy.
Have you tried those brines with beef?
Not yet. I did it with lamb though, and it was very good. I made a lamb pastrami sandwich, which I would love to start selling a lamb pastrami sandwich, but lamb is very expensive to buy, which means it's a very expensive sandwich, and I just don't know that that's appropriate right now.
No, I don't think so. What's the difference between pastrami and corned beef? Or corned animal.
corned animal.
Awful. Okay. That sounds so, fucking awful.
It does. So I grind them all together for a week to 10 days, whatever I have time for. And then, so pastrami is, I rub it with mustard and I do a rub. It's a pepper base with a couple of other spices and you mix it all together. And you coat the pork pastrami and then you smoke it for 12 hours. But lately I've been smoking it for 7 hours and then finishing it in the oven because I'm using less wood that way and who wants to smoke anything for 12 hours. Also, my smoker is so small, so it's like it uses a lot of wood.
You gotta keep feeding it probably. Yeah.
So if you have a bigger smoker, obviously you wouldn't transfer something to the oven. You'd just finish it on the smoker because it makes more sense. But and then corned pork is you just take it directly from the brine and I put it in a big pot and I simmer it for about 12 hours.
Okay.
And with cabbage, onion and celery and a spice mixture, and I have like a liquid mixture that I do as well.
Which one's your favorite of those two sandwiches?
I switch up every day. I'm kind of sick of both of them because like I have to like I'll taste pieces as the cook is going, you know. Or not with the pastrami, more the corned pork. And then packing it all up and stuff, I like smell it all day long. So, but they're both really good. I don't know. It depends. I think I like the corned pork better, but I think it's a heavier sandwich though.
Well, how are you offering these sandwich kits? How is that? And how does that go? Like with the sale of them and all that, Jeff?
So it's going really well. I usually only sell at my pop-ups. I was only doing 6 pork shoulders and now I'm doing 10 pork shoulders.
Oh, nice.
At times, so I'm increasing. The volume's definitely gone up. The sandwich kits, so the sauces are in their own containers, the kraut, the slaw, everything. It's just packaged individually, and that's because I don't really have time to like stand in my kitchen all day long and like make sandwiches because I can't have my team here with me. But then also, it's like people are wanting to wash their hands, they're wanting to wash containers by the time they get home. So I think it just feels safer making something yourself. But it's going really well. People are really into it. And they're also, some people are buying meat by the pound and they are doing all different kinds of fun things. One of my friends used pork pastrami in some kind of pasta. Someone did like an egg mix, like an egg and pastrami.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, it's really fun to see. I love getting the sandwich pictures that my customers send me. Everything looks so good and it all looks a little bit different and it's just, there's different backgrounds. It's just, it's like, it's really beautiful. I like my Instagram right now. I really like it.
So if you order from Rebecca, you should definitely send her Instagram photos that you've taken.
Yeah. I've been requesting photos of people actually physically eating the sandwich.
Okay, that's the next step.
And assembling the sandwich. And when the sandwich
is done. Do you want video too? People doing video? You want it all, right?
Everything. I want, I DM people all the time. I'm like, don't forget to take pictures.
So are you going to do this every 2 weeks? Is that kind of an idea?
Yeah. If I get another fridge, I could do it potentially every week. It's about every 2 weeks and I usually do it from like Thursday to Monday. So you can have a couple different days to pick up.
You can post it on Instagram and then people DM you and Venmo you, is that?
Yes. Yeah, they order, DM me, Venmo me. It's all made to order, so I request that you pay me upon order.
So if you post something on like a Monday, is there an order window where it closes on like a Thursday or does it go till up until the day of?
I mean, I close it until I sell out. So some people are ordering Saturday and then they pick up Saturday.
Gotcha. Okay.
But because I've been making, yeah, so I'm very flexible. And if you couldn't make the pickup window, I'd work something out with you.
You want to get in their hands if you can.
Yeah.
Is it meat by the pound every time? Because I thought the last time it was just the sandwiches. Are you
No, I
mixing it
did
up?
sandwiches and then I did meat by the pound. And then there's another chef that I met when I was at Birdie G's, and she sells cookies. So I am helping her sell her cookies and giving her 100% of the proceeds from that because she hasn't been able to work. And then I think another chef asked me if they could sell babka at my pop-up, and
Oh,
I thought
Bob, that'd
that's a
be
great
great.
idea.
That's cool. That would be awesome.
Yeah, I have another friend that wants to sell hot sauce. I'm just really loud, and I'm like have no shame. So like I'm like also I'll help you sell your stuff. Like come
Very
sell.
good. You're very good at sales. Like you could. So it's like it makes sense, and also you're passionate about what you're doing. So and you're proud of what you're
I
doing.
am. I'm obsessed with what I'm doing. I always say like I was never the type of person to just like pop out of bed and like for this I could get out of bed at any hour. I will work until I drop. I'm so happy. I love doing it. And I'm so grateful that I have something like that. I don't know. I just
Well, and it's something unique
so
to
crazy.
Los Angeles. It kind of feels right now, and that's why another reason why I wanted to at least share with other people what you're doing, because I know what you're doing, and people may be in the know, but and not everyone knows. And I and once at least they could order, they can come by, pick it up, they'll set up a window, and then once this is all over, they can come by your place. You'll be having pop-ups again, and then hopefully, do you want to like we had kind of talked off camera before about. You want to eventually open a place or have a place?
I would love to. I also want to be a supplier. So I want my pork pastrami and eventually my lamb pastrami, my turkey pastrami, my corned pork, everything. I want to be in other deli cases. So I want to start. I've had a few conversations with people. I want to be in people's deli cases. I would love to be in specialty stores or at butcher shops. I just have to kind of figure out what that looks like, and I'd have to work with someone that could do large batch brines, or who knows, maybe I'll build my own smokehouse one day. I mean,
Yeah,
so
that would be cool too.
way down the line.
And smoke a bunch of different stuff. Yeah, that would be
Yeah, I
killer.
would love to do that. And then, of course, I would love to have a little deli. Oh my God.
Do you think you'll stay in Los Angeles?
I love it here. I always say everyone's dreaming here, so you can too. Like, I was in Chicago for 4 years, and my roommates from Chicago were like, "What? How come you never cooked like this for us?" I was like, I don't know. I wasn't inspired. I grew up in Ohio, and the same thing. There's something so magic about, I think, California as a whole I think I'll stay here forever.
It's just a shame that we're dealing with what we're like, everyone's dealing with it, but it just this seemed like a time too for a lot of restaurants in Los Angeles. It just felt like a lot of small little pop-up things, and it's sad
Yeah.
and that those are all kind of changed.
It is sad, but I mean, there's ways to adapt. I've been talking, some other people have been asking me for advice because I think I adapted pretty quickly. Like,
Oh, without a doubt.
I cried the first weekend that I heard we had to quarantine. I was like, I'm not gonna be able to socialize. I'm not gonna be able to do my pop-up. What am I gonna do? And then I was like, oh my God, I'll just get to-go boxes. Like, big whoop. It is definitely sad and it is hard. But I think we have such a strong community and everyone kind of wants to help each other. And you just have to kind of, I think people just need to stay positive and you have to be willing to go with the flow and make the changes that work for you and work for your customers so that people still want to buy your food. And I mean, because also half of LA or more than half of LA, people don't know how to cook. People eat out every single night, you know? And I'm sure people are learning a little bit more because they're kind of forced to, but there are so many great restaurants that are running, especially here in LA. Like, we are so lucky. We have so many different types of cuisines.
People are doing like high-end restaurants are doing burgers and short rib Wellingtons and just random things just to, and there's places that are doing their ice cream to go that they used to just have it for on their dessert menu. So there's ways to adapt. This is certain places the rent's so high it's difficult to
I
run at
know. They
10%
really
or.
need to stop the rent. I know how expensive rents are being in real estate, you know, like
Well, that's true.
that's part of it. Like, people are always like, why don't you open a place? I'm like, hell no. Like, I'm not paying rent until I know that I'm gonna have lines out the door. It's really insane.
I don't know the economics totally, but aren't there some restaurants that have to pay a percentage of their gross or
Yeah.
something or their net or yeah.
I would highly recommend. I represent tenants. I do not represent landlords. So I, if you can avoid percentage, if for all the people in the future, if you ever buy a
Yeah.
place or if you ever rent a place, do not try to avoid percentage rents.
Do people do that because they don't want to, like, does it lower the actual physical rent, because I don't like, why would you choose that?
No, it's usually rent. It's usually rent on top, because that's just, and then percentage rent on top of actual rent.
Because the area is so
So
hot or something, or like a great location is that?
it's just a common lease term. That's just, or it's a com that's a, just a common thing that you see. I think, yeah, because retail is hot and landlords are greedy.
And a lot of people don't understand that part of the equation when they don't understand why their restaurant doesn't want to just do to go if it might not make sense, or why they've let half their employees go. It's because they want to give them the opportunity to get, you know.
People also probably aren't, people aren't tipping when they're getting it to go, probably.
For sure.
You don't need that many people. Also, when everything is to go, you can prep a lot more. So you don't need as many people in the space. And if people aren't eating as much food and ordering as much food, it's, you can't have that big of a staff working.
Is there a
Yeah.
restaurant that you want to go to when this is all over that you want to sit at? Have you been thinking about that at all?
I probably want to go to Alhambra and get some really good Chinese food, which I've been still doing. My roommate and I pick up food from all the local spots. There's a ton of different. I just want to see my friends. My favorite thing to do is like go to a restaurant and get good wine and just be loud and have fun and just have a good time. So I'm more excited about the people that I'm gonna get to be with.
Oh, for sure. And that's what's a shame, because you can get food to go, you could do all these different things, but you don't get to experience that with your friends, and that's, or your
Right.
family, or the people that you, or even just like, I'd love to go just to a bar, a restaurant that had a bar, and sit there and eat with the people at the bar. If
My
I,
God.
for, that was just, that's like, it's just, or like if you go out of town, or you go to the bar at a bar restaurant when you're in, like you're traveling, it's just so great to, I don't know, be amongst the people. And this is something, it's such a weird thing that what this has done to us as a society has kept us all apart.
Right. It's very bizarre. I'm doing a social distance picnic tomorrow for a friend's birthday, so
What
that will be fun.
is that? That's a 6 feet apart. Everybody sits 6 feet apart and just kind of
Pretty
wait.
much. We're all just gonna like sit in the grass somewhere, and two of us are bringing food, and we're bringing wine, and we're gonna, in a, everyone's gonna have like individual to-go containers.
That's cool, huh?
Yeah, it'll be fun. I did that the other day. My roommate and I went to, we just brought a bunch of beer to one of our friends' houses. They have a huge backyard, and you don't have to like, we just sat outside, and everyone was in a circle. We were all like laying on our individual blankets and just drinking and hanging out. It was fun.
Yeah, and that could be how it is for a little bit. And that's safe, and that's doable. That's totally doable. And it's
Yeah.
interesting too that restaurants can actually, you can get alcohol to go. That's such a wild thing these days.
Yeah, it's cool. I've been buying a lot of wine from Anajak Thai and from Melody Wine Bar. They have really good wine selections, like really yummy, natural, juicy wine.
Do you like juicy wines?
Yeah, Melody actually. So on, I had some customers pick up food from there, and I got a bottle of wine, and I was advertising their wines. Eric, the owner, came up with it as pork pastrami crushers, because when I do my pop-ups, I love like a nice cold red or pink wine, and it just goes so well with like the hot sandwich. It's delicious.
Well, especially with the weather too. Like as it gets warmer too, that would have been people will have to, they can just buy it, get the wine, and then pretend like they're at your place.
Yeah. If I keep doing stuff at Melody, I want to keep advertising their wine, because like I also want to do more summery sandwiches coming up. And I think just the wine and the sandwich, it goes so well together.
Well, cool. No, I have a companion blog post that'll go with this, so I'll put stuff for Melody and links to all their stuff, so that
Oh
way.
yeah, please do.
Do you think your next pop-up is going to be?
Yeah, I'm doing it every 2 weeks. I might take a week off at some point, just because it's really hard doing this by yourself. I miss my team so much. I've been like, the people that work for me, I have them come and pick up food for me. I've been doing it for the past like 3 weeks or 4 weeks. So every week, like they came up, they had the Palestinian food, the Thai food, they had baju this week. But I miss them so much. Every time they come, I almost start crying. I'm just like, I need your help.
Well, that'll be nice when you can all get back together. And
I know, and we love each other so much. Like we're such a good little crew.
it is something too, like if you're going to, when the pop-up start up again, or people can look in your back posts and stuff or Instagram, but it does look like a lot of fun that you guys, your team is having, and then it kind of blends into the people at the party too.
Yeah, it feels like a party. That's exactly what it feels like.
Yeah.
You'll come. There will be more.
Fine.
I know things are gonna change a little bit. Maybe you won't be able to sit so close to people, but I have a feeling that like some normalcy is coming back.
I think so too.
Okay. I haven't had COVID and I don't want it, but
I'm not sure I had it.
No, I don't know, but I don't want it just because I'm not this type of person. I cannot stay in bed all day. I cannot just sit there and watch TV. I'm always find a way to be busy.
You'd be a bad person to be stuck at home and stuck in a room.
Yeah, no, I can get stuck at home.
No, but stuck in a room if you had COVID.
As long as I'm outside but I think if I had COVID, I guess I would just hang outside and listen to music.
That's a cool place too. How'd you guys find that place?
So my roommates asked me, I was living on the west side. We were buddies. And she said, do you want to move east with me? And I said, sure. And we made a tour for us one day. And then this was the second place we saw. And we just signed
right
away.
That's amazing. That's such a cool, that'll be a place that you'll remember for the rest of your life.
Also, do you know who used to live here that I found out? I was carrying pots and pans in my car, and my neighbor Josh said to me, he said, do you know, he's like, are you a chef? And I was like, kind of. And he was like, well, John and Vinny used to live in that house.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And he said, John and Vinny used to live in that house when they were filming Two Dudes Catering. And then my landlord texted me randomly the other day. She's like, hi, I just want to know how everything's going with your pop-up. And she said, by the way, John and Vinny used to live there. And then she's like, you should invite them over. You should tell them I said hi. I was like, I don't know them, even though I was working for their catering company for gig work. But I messaged them on Instagram. They did not reply. But if you're listening, John and Vinny, come say hi. See the house.
Well, we could send this through. I think Bert Backman is and Avi. I think they're friends with, or at least I think Bert's friends with those guys.
I love Bert. He's so nice. I've not met Bert in person. But we're Instagram buddies, and he is so nice. He's shared recipes with me. I've shared recipes with him. He's so nice. And Avi is so nice, and his family is so cute. And also a really cute dog. Everyone is just...
Avi has the coolest parties in his backyard. I need to interview him one time. Maybe maybe go to his house and film him there.
Yeah, he's so nice, and he's so good with fire. It's unbelievable. But just what that's going back to what I was saying earlier, about this community, I've heard from other people, people are assholes, people are this, people are that, and I'm sure that's a thing, but I have not run into that. No. People have been so helpful, and I think if someone wants to learn I've found that someone wants to teach you. Mm-hmm. And it's been so wonderful. I'm so grateful that I have all these people in my life.
That's awesome. Well, that's a great way to end it. I think that's wonderful. So thank you again, honestly, for taking the time to do this and for doing what you're doing. I'm excited to actually try your food someday. That would be nice.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you so much. This is so fun.
Well, that's very cool. Yeah. Have a great day. Good talking to you.
Okay. You too. Right, bye, Kevin. Bye.